I believe you. When they ask what did you wear, I believe you. When you say you were scared, please don't forget you're not alone. I've been there. I believe you. I believe you. When you doubt what you saw, I believe you. When the night still feels wrong, please don't forget you're not alone. I've been there. I believe you. I believe. I believe you. There's no need to explain. I believe you. When they slander your name, please don't forget you're not alone. I've been there. I believe. Stand for your truth. You're not alone. I've been there. I believe you.
That's Rosie and the Riveters with I Believe You from their soon-to-be-released new album Misbehave. Named after the World War II feminist labor icon Rosie the Riveter, the band are a study in contrasts. The bright red lipstick, the curls, the post-war dress, and their vintage harmonies and sassy choreographed stage show, coupled with songs that are deliberately intended to question, provoke, and inspire. And Alexis Normand from Rosie and the Riveters is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. It's great to have you join us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Very much looking forward to the new album. It drops on April the 6th. You've been creating a lot of buzz. Certainly, I think this album seems a little more political than your last album, which was the very well-received Good Clean Fun from 2015. We started off with I Believe You, which is a very topical song, obviously related to the issue of the Me Too movement and concerns about the way women are treated. What I'd like to do at the start is to give you a chance to talk about that song, and then let's talk about the album generally.
Sounds good. That song, actually, we wrote it before the Me Too movement kind of took its flight, as it did last fall. We wrote it in February last year. Our record, in general, we wanted this one to speak about issues that were close to our hearts and topics that really mattered to us. Even then, a year ago, we were hearing more and more about, you know, there's more trials or more, there's just more talk about survivors of sexual assault and those stories coming to light. And so we wanted to honor the courage it takes for survivors to break the silence. You know, when we were writing the song, we were really moved because sexual assault or sexual harassment is something that is so, unfortunately, very, very common. And so we realized that this song can contribute to that conversation that's now happening on a national and international level. And when we were writing it, we realized that sometimes there are three words that are more important to hear for some people than I love you or I appreciate you. And those words could be I believe you. And so we just wanted to write a tune to pay tribute to that and to honor the survivors who break that silence.
And I think all proceeds from this song will be donated to organizations that provide support for survivors of sexual assault?
That's right. Right now we're partnering with the YWCA in Canada. They are an organization that supports, I think, 9 provinces and 2 territories, and they have programs for both women and non-binary. So all the proceeds right now are being donated to them.
Well, it's a great song, and it's got a wonderful video. If you go to folkrootsradio.com, you'll be able to check out the link for that. The video features a lot of other people apart from the 3 band members. Tell us a little bit about putting the video together.
We worked with this really great video team out of Regina, Saskatchewan, called Crush Rockets, and we approached them with the concept of having a lot of people involved in this video. And so we put out a call on Facebook and asked if anyone would want to participate, knowing what the song was about and if they wanted to, you know, kind of, I guess, stand united in supporting survivors of sexual assault by telling them that we believe them. We were totally overwhelmed with the response. I think they're, you know, we had to turn some people away. We didn't have time to film everybody on the day that we were shooting. So I think that just spoke to, it reminded us that this is, of course, it's an issue that we hear about a lot in the news today, but it is an issue and a topic that is close to a lot of people's hearts and that matter to a lot of people. And so we were so honored to have a community kind of rally around us behind in support of this song and its message.
Well, it's certainly a very impactful song, and I encourage everybody not just to check out the video, but please share that video, because I think it really does speak to the importance of this issue. And as you mentioned, this was something that you were working on before Me Too became a worldwide phenomenon. I want to talk about some of the other songs on the album, but I want to actually go ahead and play another song very shortly, because this album is quite political. And, you know, when I was talking at the beginning, one of the things I love about your music is that you really are a study in contrast, the way you present yourselves, but the actual material that you sing about, you know, really brings home some important messages. The song I want to play is Ask a Man, which goes to this whole mansplaining thing. It's interesting. You really seem to have, with the songs that you're writing just now, really picking up on some important issues. I sense, because of the fun lyrics in this song, that this was fun to write, but also has a serious message.
Yeah, I think in general with this record, we were wanting to write songs that explain topics that are important to us or that, you know, that resonate with us. But we've always been a band that's really uplifting and inspiring and empowering. So the creative challenge has been how to talk about these issues, sometimes, you know, with tongue-in-cheek humor and sometimes with more sensitivity. And I guess Ask a Man is one of those tongue-in-cheek humor kind of things, but, you know, it's got a bit of a little punch in the middle there, a little message that we're also trying to poke fun at.
Well, it's certainly a fun song, and if anyone listens to the lyrics, you'll definitely pick out some of the people. I'm not naming any names, but there is somebody who lives down in the United States causing a lot of grief for a lot of other people, and he gets a little bit of a subtle mention.
Nod.
Yeah, a little nod in this song. Yeah. It's a great song. Let's play that just now. This is Rosie and the Riveters with Ask a Man from their great new album, Misbehave, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall.
I need a man to explain things to me. The space in my head is quite small, you see. I am uncertain. What are my concerns? Can you spell them out in more simpler terms? election, my knowledge is slim. There's a politician, oh good, let's ask him. I'm sure he's educated and he'll put me at ease. I just don't trust my ovaries. Ask a man,
ask a man, ask a man,
'cause I don't understand.
Ask a man, ask a man,
explain it so I can.
Ask a man, ask a man,
yeah.
Gosh golly, what an opportunity
to ask a man,
ask a man, ask a man,
I don't understand.
Ask a man, ask a man,
explain it so I can.
Ask a man, ask a man,
well,
gosh, what would I do without a guy like you?
I need a gentleman to fix my car. Without one to help me, I doubt I'll go far. I may look dumb, I assure you I'm not. Where am I going? Oh, whoops, I forgot. Politics are tricky and make my head ache. It must be hard to bomb a country while you're eating cake. How should I vote? Should I just guess? If I'm right-handed, can I vote left? Ask a man,
ask a man, ask a man,
'cause I don't understand.
Ask a man, ask a man,
explain it so I can.
Ask a man, ask a man.
Oh, gosh golly, what an opportunity to ask a man,
ask a man, ask a man,
explain it so I can.
Ask a man, ask a man,
'cause I don't understand.
Ask a man, ask a man.
Well, gosh, what would I do without a guy like you? I have heard that thoughts and objections are quite bad for my complexion. Don't mean to bother or cause you to strain. It's just so hard for my female brain. Bonds and investments, it's all Greek to me. If I give you money, will it grow on a tree? Can you speak louder? Tell me more about stocks. Oh, I hear my biological clock. Ask a man,
ask a man, ask a man,
'cause I don't understand.
Ask a man, ask a man,
explain it so I can.
Ask a man, ask a man.
Gosh golly, what an opportunity to ask a man.
Ask a man, ask a man.
Oh, I don't understand.
Ask a man, ask a man,
explain it so I can.
Ask a man, ask a man.
Gosh, what would I do without a guy like you?
That's Rosie and the Riveters with Ask a Man from their great new album, Misbehave. And Alexis Normand from Rosie and the Riveters is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're talking about the new album, and it's definitely worth checking out. And definitely check out the videos that this band have put together. Fabulous videos with great messages. I want to talk about the songwriting on the album, Alexis, because I gather that you had 40 songs you were working on before you narrowed it down to the songs that appear on the final album. You also involved two or three other songwriters in it. I gather that was after you had some ideas. So tell us a little bit about how you worked on the songs for the album.
Our goal was to write as many as possible. We just decided in our creating phase we wanted to write about things that were important and just become better songwriters. So we set out to write a lot of songs. And we did it mostly in cabins in northern Saskatchewan. We decided to, you know, have romantical songwriting weekends where we would just kind of dive right in. And the first one was really prolific. I think after 3 days we had written 7 or 8 songs. And I guess as an extension to our desire to want to learn to become better songwriters, and just, you know, a big part of it is collaborating together. So what's interesting with this record is a lot of the songs that we wrote as a trio, we wrote together as a trio from the very, like, someone brings an embryo, just like a tiny guitar idea or a lyric idea, and we collaborate through and through on the lyrics and the music, and everything happens with the three of us in the room. And later on, we were wanting to incorporate other Canadian songwriters to the mix, and so we had songwriting sessions with Royal Wood and Matthew Barber and Robin DeLinto, and we even wrote other songs with Caroline Brooks, for example, from The Good Lovelies. And as an extension to that, of that desire to want to learn from other people and just write music. Once we had about 40 tunes, we handed them over to Joshua Van Tassel, their producer, and let him have a look. I mean, they weren't all great. Some of them were certainly duds. But the idea was more to just keep writing. And Josh helped us narrow it down to the collection of songs that are on our record now.
Yeah, because I think there's 12 songs on this album. There's two co-writes with Matthew Barber, one with Royal Wood and Tim Abraham. And the song we're going to play next is the co-write with Robin Delunto, and that is I Want to Be King. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Oh, well, we went to her place in Toronto, and we were kind of messing around with different beats, and she had some ideas that she had pulled from different songs. Or just, you know, she had sort of the kind of beginning arrangement ideas, and we were just sort of brainstorming, and then we're thinking, oh, you know what it is? Like, we tell girls that they can be anything they want to be, and, you know, why do they have to settle to be queens? Why can't they be kings? You know, it's sort of putting into question also the roles that we give women and girls in fairy tales and all these things. So we decided, yeah, like, let's change the narrative here. Let's write something different. And so that's where I Want to Be King came about.
Well, it's certainly a very provocative song, and in a fun way. And I guess that's a lot of the way that you like to tell your stories, isn't it? You want to, you know, we mentioned at the start, you know, you have this wonderful stage show we'll talk a little bit about later on in the interview. But you have that, but then you have the message that comes through in the songs. I imagine a lot of these songs must be very well received by the audience.
People really enjoy our songs and our show. Yeah, I think the key thing for us has always been to keep it uplifting and fun and empowering and accessible. And this record seems to fall into that desire of ours.
Let's play that song just now. This is Rosie and the Riveters with I Wanna Be King from their great new album, Misbehave. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall.
If I dared to be a dragon with fire on my tongue, heat on my breath, my words as weapons, I wouldn't have to yell, I wouldn't have to shout. Everyone would listen when I opened my mouth. I dare have a vision, I dare raise my hand, 'cause I want more than I'm given. So I burn the plan. A giant, 10 feet tall. I wouldn't leave the weak, and I wouldn't leave the small. I'd rewrite the words of that fantasy. I wouldn't need a hero, 'cause the hero would be me.
I dare have a vision, I dare raise my hand, 'cause I want more than I'm given. So I burn.
That's Rosie and the Riveters with I Want to Be King from their new album, Misbehave. And Alexis Normand from Rosie and the Riveters is a special guest on Folk Roots Radio. I want to talk a little bit more about the album. You mentioned Joshua Van Tassel, who it was the producer for the album, Alexis, and he's worked with Sarah Sleen, he's worked with Rose Cousins, Great Lake Swimmers. Tell me why you chose him as a producer.
Well, we were listening to the music that he's produced, and we really loved how he was able to kind of tap into the artist. And not like some producers, they kind of leave a pretty heavy fingerprint on the music that they produce, and you can tell by listening to a record who produced it. And Josh, I feel like he has that fingerprint, but it's really collaborative. He really tries to hone into what the artist wants, what we wanted to say, how we wanted to sound, and facilitates that coming out in on the record. And what I really loved about his approach in studio is how he really maximizes the talent of the people that he brings together. So whether it be, the bass player, him on drums, or, you know, we had like a really great band, and he relied on them for ideas too, and really created this wonderfully collaborative space where everyone was free to share ideas for the purpose of the song, and really making it all kind of come together in a really collaborative way.
And you're now a three-piece band. I think at the time of Good Clean Fun, you were actually a four-piece. There's Alison Ray and Faraday Olsen and yourself. Tell us a little bit about how you get on as a trio.
Yeah, well, the fourth member, Melissa Nygreen, she decided to, she first of all bought an acreage with her partner just outside of Saskatoon. And eventually, you know, she has chickens and goats and bees and ducks, and decided, oh my gosh, with this giant garden that she has, she didn't want to tour anymore. And so she's, fulfilling her life's dream of having this homestead, and we're really happy for her. And we had, after she left about, like, I think a year ago in January last year, we had a bit of a tour in Alberta and BC, and we thought, let's just see what happens if we perform it as a trio. And we did, and we really enjoyed it. And so we thought, well, okay, maybe we can just carry on as a three-piece. And so that's what we do. However, I should mention that just a couple months ago, we ended up adding a drummer to our show. So now we're still a quartet. Like, there's three of us in the band, but we hire our good friend Hal Schrank, who plays percussion and drums with us.
So tell us about who else plays on the album with you.
Well, Josh put together a really awesome crew. We have Robbie Grunwald on keys, Brett Higgins on bass. We also had Drew Jureka, who did a lot of all the string arrangements. He played all the strings. And there was also Dean Drewyard, who played electric guitar and a bit of acoustic guitar for us. It was really nice because it was kind of like all live off the floor. We jammed a bit together and then recorded. And so in that sense, it was really, really wonderful environment to have people collaborate and share their ideas and get the best out of these songs.
And I imagine you must have had lots of fun in the studio, judging by the videos that you've produced. I mean, they're clearly, you guys love being together.
We do. We have a lot of fun. We're really close friends. And this year has been one where we've really tried to nurture our friendship, because we feel like the more we do that, the better we are as a group and business women and as musicians as well.
And I think do you all have solo careers as well? I know that you're a bilingual singer-songwriter. I just wondered about the other two.
That's right. Yeah, we've all had solo projects outside of Rosie and the Riveters. So we've put them kind of on hold and decided about a year ago once again to pursue Rosie and the Riveters full-time.
Oh, certainly. Well, you're a fabulous band. And I want to talk about live performance, because when I've seen you play, it really feels like an event when a Rosie and the Riveters show. I mean, you get in the part, but then you also have these wonderful songs. So tell us a little bit about live performance.
We put a lot of effort into our live show. Actually, we even hired a woman from Nashville to come up to Saskatoon to help us really bring it to the next level. So it's a really empowering, uplifting, upbeat performance. We're funny, we're charming, and also we have some strong feminist messages that we're also sharing in our songs. So there are, you know, three-part harmonies on all of our tunes. And something interesting about our band is that there's no Rosie in Rosie and the Riveters. So there's no front person. We split the leads equally among the three of us, and we try to make sure that we each have, you know, kind of equal space and equal time on stage and support each other in that way. I play acoustic guitar and electric guitar, and now we're backed up by Hal Schrank, who plays percussion and drums. The other, Faraday and Allison, both play other percussion and shakers and other instruments, and it's a really lively performance, and we're really excited about touring it across Canada and the United States in the next couple months.
And you mentioned at the start of the interview, when we were talking about I Believe You, that the proceeds of that song will be going to support the victims of sexual assault. But if I understand this right, you're also, I mean, that tends to be an ethos you bring to your music generally, that you have donated, money from merchandise profits to different projects. Can you talk about how important it is to give back from your point of view?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I think something that's really important to note is that our band started out of a desire to collaborate and to have women come together and do something positive for each other and for the community. And as an extension of that, we, it kind of sets the tone in our collaboration and how we write songs and how we work together as musicians and business women. And also, we wanted it to go beyond that. And so we invest 20% of our merchandise profits to microfinance other women's projects around the world. And we do that through an organization called Kiva. It's an online thing. For example, recently we supported a woman in Ecuador. Her name is Maria, and she was able to buy a new sewing machine for her tailoring business. And so far we've invested, I think now the total's up to over $9,000, contributing to over 180 projects around the world. So it's something we've been doing ever since we started the band, and something we continue to contribute as time wears on.
Well, it's certainly wonderful that you make this commitment, and it certainly comes through in your music. Again, you know, the fact that you chose Rosie and the Riveter to be the, you know, that wonderful feminist icon for the name of the band. But, you know, you really do seem to be walking the talk, which is absolutely wonderful. You mentioned you're on tour this spring. Touring must be a big part of your lives at the moment.
It is. It certainly will be this spring, that's for sure. We are going from coast to coast in Canada, from Vancouver all the way to Newfoundland. We're performing between Los Angeles and New York City. It'll be certainly very, very busy in the next couple months for us.
No, that's wonderful. If people want to learn more about the band, how can they do that?
Oh, come visit our website, rosieandtheriveters.com.
That's great. Well, there's just one thing left to do, and that is to introduce the final song. I'm going to ask you to do that for us. It is the title track from the new album. So take it away, Alexis Normand.
This Misbehave, I guess this is a comment on how we sometimes, our band, we're under the impression sometimes that women's behavior is policed a little bit, maybe by, I don't know, social norms or just by different comments. And so this is a song of empowerment to say, you know what, I'm going to walk the way I need to walk and say what I need to say and misbehave, so to speak.
That's wonderful. Alexis Normand, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. This is Rosie and the Riveters with the title track from their great new album, Misbehave. And definitely check them out when they come to your town. And thanks again, Alexis.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Jen.
Well, I have been known to like a little rum. I ain't gonna quit, I ain't hurting no one. Yes, I have been known to just up and leave. I'm playing for keeps with an ace up my sleeve. You got to behave. So I'll misbehave.
Behave.
I'll behave in my grave.
There's lots of sinners.
I don't care what they say.
What they say. Call me misbehave.
Ooh, call me misbehave. Mm-hmm. you go.